I do not aim with my hand. He who aims with his hand has forgotten the face of his father. I aim with my eye. I do not kill with my gun. He who kills with his gun has forgotten the face of his father. Then, without knowing he meant to do it, he stepped out of the trees and spoke to the trundling robots on the far side of the clearing. I kill with my heart. They stopped their endless circling. One of them let out a high buzz that might have been alarm or a warning. The radar dishes, each no bigger than half a Hershey bar, turned toward the sound of his voice. Eddie began to fire. The sensors exploded like clay pigeons, one after the other. Pity was gone from Eddie's heart. There was only that coldness and the knowledge that he would not stop, could not stop, until the job was done. Thunder filled the twilit clearing and bounced back from the splintery rock wall at its wide end. The steel snake did two cartwheels and lay twitching in the dust. The biggest mechanism, the one that had reminded Eddie of his childhood Tonka tractor, tried to flee. Eddie blew its radar dish to Kingdom Come as it made a herky-jerky run at the side of the rut. It fell on its squarish nose with thin blue flames squirting out of the steel sockets which held its glass eyes. The only sensor he missed was the one on the stainless steel rat. That shot caromed off its metal back with a high mosquito whine. It surged out of the rut, made a half-circle around the box-shaped thing which had been following the snake, and charged across the clearing at surprising speed. It was making an angry, clittering sound, and as it closed the distance, Eddie could see it had a mouth lined with long, sharp points. They did not look like teeth. They looked like sewing machine needles, blurring up and down. No, he guessed these things were really not much like puppies after all. "Take it, Roland!" he shouted desperately. But when he snatched a quick look around, he saw that Roland was still standing with his arms crossed on his chest, his expression serene and distant. He might have been thinking of chess problems or old love letters. The dish on the rat's back suddenly locked down. It changed direction slightly and buzzed straight toward Susanna Dean. "One bullet left," Eddie thought. "If I miss, it'll take her face off." Instead of shooting, he stepped forward and kicked the rat as hard as he could. He had replaced his shoes with a pair of deerskin moccasins, and he felt the jolt all the way up to his knee. The rat gave a rusty, ratcheting squeal, tumbled over and over in the dirt, and came to rest on its back. Eddie could see what looked like a dozen stubby mechanical legs pistoning up and down. Each was tipped with a sharp steel claw. These claws twirled around and around on gimbals the size of pencil erasers. A steel rod poked out of the robot's midsection and flipped the gadget upright again. Eddie brought Roland's revolver down, ignoring a momentary impulse to steady it with his free hand. That might be the way cops in his own world were taught to shoot, but it wasn't the way it was done here. "When you forget the gun is there, when it feels like you're shooting with your finger," Roland had told them, "then you'll be somewhere near home." Eddie pulled the trigger. The tiny radar dish, which had begun to turn again in an effort to find the enemies, disappeared in a blue flash. The rat made a choked noise, gulp, and fell dead on its side.